3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board, join the dialogue and the discussion on the issue each and every day. The format of the Let's Face the Issues programs designed around you, our listener. We invite you to participate. We want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What are your positions on the issues each and every day? We'll be talking about today, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. What does it mean, rightly dividing the word of truth? We'll get into the fundamentals of that in a moment. Dr. Davis is with me today. We're looking forward to what God is going to say through the broadcast. And lest I forget it, that telephone number for you to join the discussion, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we might entertain your question, comments, and discussion on the issue. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the Scripture that is the foremost, the first, the final authority on all that's said and done. I call it having a central biblicist worldview, where we look at everything through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? What does it tell us? How should we respond to it? John 8:31-32, when Jesus is dealing with his disciples, he makes a pretty profound statement. He says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the word makes a declaratory statement, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, points out that the truth of the Lord endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, lest you get weary, want to toss in the towel, think everything is hopeless, keep in mind that God's word stands, and it'll stand the test of time. It has always, and it shall continue to do so. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." So we have those today that reject and have disdain for the truth. We're going to be talking about that on this broadcast today, and it might step on a few toes, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, with those that are not dividing the word of truth biblically. We need to understand what the Scripture is saying in that verse. We'll talk about it during the course of this broadcast today. Looking forward to what God will have you to do in the participation in this dialogue and discussion, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, today the church appears to be in a diverse, divided state of delusion in so many areas. Why is that so? Perhaps I could name a number of possibilities, but I believe the leading cause is found in the lack, L-A-C-K, of proper biblical hermeneutic. The word hermeneutics is a long, odd-sounding word. It simply means the art and science of biblical interpretation. There's a misunderstanding on how we need to understand and interpret the Word of God, the Scripture. We're going to talk about that during the course of this broadcast that I believe gets back to the fundamentals of the truth. And it's the younger generation today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, that the latest survey says 55% of the millennials say, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe we're living in the era that we need to stand up and be willing to defend the truth, even if it means taking our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The Tools for Time knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, 165-foot flagpole. Atop the flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time are now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. But ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of the Tools for Time team to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll read one verse of Scripture, and then we're going to open our telephone lines, invite your dialogue and discussion. You will perhaps not be able to fully fathom where we're going until about part of the way through the broadcast when we're trying to set the stage with this verse. With this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, the word rightly dividing means rightly interpreting the word of truth, end quote. God charges the Christian, God charges the Christian church with the responsibility of studying the word. And by the way, when you exegete that one verse, look at the word study, that talks about laborious effort. The word study indicates there putting time and energy into the analysis and the review of the Word of God. Not just some quick glance at the Word, but studying it. Study to show thyself approved. The word approved is the Greek word dokimos. Dokimos. Study to show thyself approved. Dokimos. That we, when we study, and we analyze the text, and we see what God's Word says, using words to understand words and the hermeneutic approach of interpreting Scripture. The Scripture says, study to show thyself approved, a workman. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I want to be approved of God. I don't say this in a nonchalant fashion, but I really don't care what the world thinks, as long as God approves of what I'm doing in the study of His Word and the preparation of His Word, the proclamation of His Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. In fact, you look at the words in the Greek text, literally means cutting it straight, interpreting it straight, the Word of truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our responsibility. But yet, there are a lot of things that mitigate against that today. In fact, one of the major things that mitigates against the proper interpretation of the Scripture is what is called dispensationalism. Dr. Davis and I are going to be talking about that today. Dr. Davis, thank you for being with us. Thank you for the privilege we have of studying the Word together, sharing it with the listeners.
Amen. Thanks so much, Dr. Youngblood, for the opportunity for being here. I thank God for bringing me safely over the dangerous highways this morning. Certainly, amen, there were many obstacles out there that could have prevented me from being here, but the hand of my God was upon me for the good.
Amen.
So I thank God for that. I'll say good morning to my bride of 37 years, all of my family and friends that are listening on today. And we certainly hope that you will get a grip on this broadcast or the information that's contained therein,
mm-hmm.
because time is of the essence.
Yes.
Going back to what you said about that workman, amen, what came to my mind was a person that was highly skilled in labor.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at studying the scripture, like you said, that's labor.
That's right. Should be.
But God expects for us to be highly skilled.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be like a novice.
That's right.
When it comes down to his word. In other words, when we see things happening in the world, immediately our mind should go to the pages of scripture, because it's already written right there what's going to happen. So we shouldn't be panicking. We should be happy that the word of God is coming to pass,
mm-hmm.
and it's all going to work out for our good. But then we need to know what's there. So scripture commands us to study. God expects for us to study in order to know his word so that we can be prepared, because as we are getting ready to talk about dispensations and the administration of God's power, his dunamis power,
right,
throughout the universe,
mm-hmm.
this is going to be manifest,
mm-hmm.
in these last days. It already has. It's already started. But even at the time that we're living in right now, we need to be able to recognize,
right,
these times and know and understand that the word of God is coming to pass, and it's all going to work out for our good.
Mm-hmm.
So let us be prepared. Don't let that day catch us with our work undone.
Absolutely. We need to be prepared. We need to be studying the word. We need to know what the word says. Ladies and gentlemen, studying the scripture, we are to interpret the word for the proper spreading of the word of God. Today, church is so devoid of the sound, deep theological understanding of much of the scripture. We have a major problem. I believe, Pastor Davis, the major problem is what I call weak pulpits, where the pulpits are not exegeting the text, going deep into. Most of what you hear today, ladies and gentlemen, you can correct me if that's not what you find in your church. Love to hear from you. But it's pablum, cotton candy theology, coming out of most pulpits today. It's not deep study. It's not deep word for word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, eschatologically and prophetically teaching of what God is doing now and what he'll do in the future tense. I believe we need to understand that. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question. Comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Yumba.
Good morning. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. And good morning, Pastor Davis.
Good morning.
But
good
morning. I tell you what, I mean, in my spirit, we are being taken down. Think about it. We killed over, what, 62 or 63 or 64 million babies. Then you got the LGBTQ, XYZ, whatever they want to call themselves. And if God doesn't do anything to us, he's going to have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah, and God is not going to do that. And then you let in these cells in here, these terrorist groups in here.
Kenneth, if I can jump in for a moment, I'm glad you touched on that with what we see. And it's actually about 75 million babies that have been murdered thus far. And then with LGBTQI, et cetera, that's brought into it. And part of the problem that we find with the abortion issue, and it's being embraced in the churches, the sodomite issue being embraced in the churches, is because of a lack, L-A-C-K, of the proper hermeneutic of understanding the interpretation of Scripture. Many today will take the Scripture in an allegorical form. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we need to understand what the Scripture says. Words mean something. If you'd be out of town for about 6 weeks and you send a letter to your wife, she doesn't take the letter and read it and say, well, he says, I love you. She doesn't take it and say, well, I wonder what I, who is the I? Love you. Who does he love? What is he saying? Et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way, unfortunately, that many today look at the Word of God. Rather than looking at it that words mean something and having a literal interpretation, there are many, many, many today that will use the allegorical method of interpretation of the Scripture. And we'll talk about that. But the key to it is, Kenneth, as we look at the Scripture, we need to understand what God is saying and what God is doing. And the need is from the pulpits to the pew. to exegete the scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing, exegeting the word of truth.
Right. And can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you think that this is going to be that the first part of, should I say it, World War III?
We're watching the early stages of World War III right now. The world is on fire. We're watching battle after battle after battle, wars and rumblings of wars around the globe. And what we're watching out of the Ukraine, what we're watching in the Middle East, and what we're watching that will very, very, very soon come to pass is Syria coming into the battle in the Middle East, and Iran coming into the battle openly in the Middle East. Iran is already in the scenes, behind the scenes, with Hezbollah and Hamas and what's taking place on the West Bank. They're the promulgators of it. So all of this is going to come about, but it's just fulfilling the scripture. And by the way, it goes back to, if we do not have a literal interpretation of scripture, we cannot look at what is happening in the world and understand what God is doing. But it's because of a literal interpretation of scripture that we see what is happening. God said it was going to happen. It's happening. Just like with the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ in his first coming, all of the prophecies were fulfilled just as he said they would.
Amen.
And so we understand that his word does not change. So therefore, every prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled just as God said and just as it was in Jesus' first coming. But the problem is today a lack, L-A-C-K, of rightly dividing the word of truth. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do as we keep looking up. I believe we have another call on the line. Tom, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I'd like to thank you for having a biblicist worldview, because without that, you're just babbling.
And that's right.
I know probably I'm going to say time flies when you get old. But
it does.
but I'm going to say it's 2 years ago you started saying that this is when Russia invaded the Ukraine and several things, that this is the beginning of World War III. And that sounded outlandish to somebody that's not biblically wise. But I went to the doctor yesterday, and due to changing my plan, they couldn't see me. It was a real cluster. But on the way down, there was a gentleman real fit and had on a T-shirt, and it said veteran. And boy, was he the epitome of a infit or army guy. And I asked him, I said, what do you think about the situation over there in Israel? And he said, there's no doubt about it. He said, that's the beginning of World War III.
Yes.
And he said he was in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he said, till you've been over there and see how brutal those people are. And he said, I've seen them grab up a 3 or 4 year old child and run across the street and hold it up as a shield. And he said, you just have no clue that the people who are demonstrating in these universities for Palestinians, he said, they have no clue what they're doing. He said, they'll kill them so fast and make your head swim. But Dr. Youngblood, I just want to thank you that you're the tip of the spear, so to speak. And I asked him, I said, what can we do to prepare? He said, I don't know. And I was going to ask you, where do we go from here now that this is, we'll say December 7th has arose, and we can see those of us who read the Bible, what can we do to prepare?
I have said this many, many times. We need to pray, we need to plan, and we need to prepare. And those are the three P's. We need to pray and keep praying and keep praying, asking God to intervene. We need to plan as though we're going to be here 1,000 years and yet be ready for the next 30 seconds to be taken out in the rapture of the church. We need to be prepared and that is not letting this take us by surprise. What if tomorrow it is announced that Russia or China or Iran has lobbed a missile and it's taken part of the West Coast off the 48 lower states? How do we what do we do? We need to be prepared for the eventuality of things like, not saying that it would happen, but we need to be prepared. Part of that preparation is, as I've had several to recommend to me, have enough food, enough water, enough things on hand for several days, 6 weeks, in case something were to take place. Mostly not aware of the fact, Tom, that if there's an EMP, electric magnetic something that goes off in the air, that we'd go back to the 1700s, an EMP, electromagnetic pulse. If that were to take place, we'd go back to the 1700s. You couldn't go up to a service station, take your charge card, and get gas. You would not have a cell phone. You would not have a digital watch. You would not have an electronic garage door opener. And I could go on and on and on. The one writer said it would literally take us back to the 1700s, in the era when everything is done by hand. And so there are multitudes today, Tom, that's not expecting that, that have not believed that we're in the last of the last days, ignoring biblical eschatological prophetic future, ignoring what the scripture says, and not taking it literally. That's part of the conversation today, is looking at what the scripture says and taking it literally, interpreting the scripture literally, and not with some allegorical show candy in the interpretation. And the major problem in society today, it's bad enough in society in general, but then when you come to the theological doctrinal teachings in our churches, where pablum is being taught, goosebump theology, cotton candy theology, and voodoo theology, the child of God's not prepared theologically, doctrinally, or biblically. And the part of the preparation, in fact, I would say the underpinning of the preparation, should be study the Word, study the Word, study the Word, know the Word, know what God is doing, and know that God is still in charge, God's still on the throne, God still will still continue to support His own. So that's my little diatribe in relationship to what I believe we need to do, is to pray, to plan, and to prepare. And I believe that God would honor that. Brother Tom, I'm delighted to hear from you. Thankful that you're doing all right. And I pray that you'll keep on keeping on serving the Lord. Thank you for calling today. And God bless you.
Thank you for your answer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917.
You know, Dr. Youngblood, I want to point out something there that Brother Tom just said when he, I guess the doctor or whoever that was he was speaking with on yesterday, asked him, what do we do now? Might not have said it like that, but whatever question you ask, the person returned a so-called answer, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, the world doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Only God knows.
That's right.
So for that reason, we as His people ought to be studying His Word so that we would know.
God has not kept it a secret. He's put it there, as you said.
Amen.
And it's our responsibility to study it, exegete it, understand what He is saying.
That's it.
And it's based on words.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, rightly dividing the word of truth. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. What do we mean when we talk about biblical interpretation? There, Pastor Davis says three basic approaches to biblical interpretation. Number one is called allegorical interpretation. Allegorical. That is, the text has some deeper mystical meaning. Not just for what the scripture says, but a deeper mystical meaning. And I'm going to read, Pastor Davis, two or three verses in Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 35. And in verse 35, the scripture says, 35 and 36, and the same day when the 11 were come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, Eve, speaking of Jesus, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now, that sounds pretty simple. Jesus is in a big ship. There are the little ships in the water around him. It literally means that Jesus is in a ship. It literally means that there are the little ships around the Lord Jesus. But don't know. And an allegorical understanding of that, as one allegorist said a number of years ago, he said the ship represents the church. Jesus went into the church. And the other little ships represents the world trying to get into the church. Yeah, that's a hodgepodge, broken, messed up interpretation. But that's a good illustration of what we talk about when we talk about the using an allegorical method. Some teach that Jesus is the ship, and other little ships where the world's trying to get into the church. Ladies and gentlemen, it is incumbent upon us to look at the Scripture, study the Scripture, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing, rightly exegeting, rightly interpreting the word of truth. The second approach to biblical interpretation is the literal approach, literal interpretation. For example, ladies and gentlemen, when Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 6, the Bible talks about 1,000 years. We need to understand it's talking about 1,000 years literally. It's the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the Scripture in Genesis, and it says, an evening and morning with the first day, evening, morning with the second day. And we're talking about a 24-hour period of time. We don't have to look at it and say, well, there's a great epochs of time. There's some that interpret it that way, because Jesus said 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. The little simile there, as a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day. Jesus was saying there's no such thing as time, clock, and calendar with the dispensation of God. God sees everything in the eternal presence. But when it comes to what we do in studying the Scripture, we need to look at it from the literal interpretation. Someone said, and let me quote this, someone said, when the literal sense makes sense, seek no other sense, lest it become nonsense. And yet we find today multitudes are making nonsense out of the Scripture, Pastor, making nonsense out of the Scripture. And the third thing, and that's where we want to go in the balance of our discussion today, is what is called replacement theology. That is the non-dispensational view of the Scripture. That is, the church is spiritual Israel. Listen, Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. God has always dealt with Israel separately. God will always deal with the church separately, and the twain shall never meet from that standpoint. But yet, in the interpretation of Scripture today, multitudes have bought into the non-dispensational attitude. In fact, multitudes say, Pastor Davis, that dispensation is not even in the Scripture. Those that reject and out of hand refuse to embrace dispensationalism say that Darby, D-A-R-B-Y, that was the theologian back in the 1800s, and I think it's about 1884, 1881, that he made a great writing about that. So many today say that dispensationalism came about in modern times, and that church fathers, our church fathers of yesteryear, didn't know anything about it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God itself talks about dispensationalism. For example, Pastor, I'm going to read a verse or two, and then I'm going to let you give some thoughts and insights. For example, in 1 Corinthians 9:17, for the Apostle Paul speaking says, for if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. The Apostle Paul is using the word dispensation. What does the word dispensation mean? It is a time of stewardship. It is a time of administration. And for example, Pastor, right now, Donald Deegan is the mayor of Jacksonville. We're living in the dispensation, the time of the administration of Donald Deegan.
Amen.
I don't know of any other way to make it any clearer for our listeners to understand what the word dispensation means. We're going to talk about that a whole lot after the broadcast. But Pastor Davis, take just a few moments before our news break and join the discussion.
Well, the Bible warns us against being baby Christians. And I'm just going to read one verse. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11 says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Let us not be caught in that position. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for us to be babes when we can come to a full understanding of the knowledge of God if we study as he commanded us to do.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll continue our thoughts on rightly dividing the word of